We now turn our attention to the next chapter in Divrei Hayamim Beis, the next to the last chapter in all of Tanakh, chapter Lamed Hei 35. And here in this chapter we continue to learn about the story and the tragic fate of Yoshiyahu. We just read and studied together in yesterday's chapter 34 how Yoshiyahu's response to the Sefer Torah that he found and to the horrible, horrible prophecy which was delivered to him from Chuldah HaNeviah, from Chuldah the prophetess. And Yoshiyahu's response was to meet with the people and encourage them, inspire them to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam, to renew the covenant with him. And here in chapter Lamed Hei, he does so in a very dramatic and magnificent way. And that is, he makes a Korban Pesach. Rashi says that until his time, the other Malchei Yehuda Horoshoyim did not do Korban Pesach properly. And Yoshiyahu did. And indeed, on the 14th day of Nisan, he slaughtered the Korban Pesach. And he reorganized the hierarchy and the division of the Kohanim so that they will be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash efficiently. And he told all the people, Tenu es Aron HaKodesh Babayis. He told Leviim, Tenu es Aron HaKodesh Babayis Asher Bono Shlomo Ventovit. Put the Aron back where it belonged. Now here, Rashi says that Lefi Pshuto, the simple meaning is that Yoshio's predecessors, Omon, and before him, Menashe, removed the Aron, removed the ark, and placed in its stead some idols. And he now wanted to restore the Aron HaKodesh to its proper place. However, Chazal says something much deeper. And that is that Yoshiyahu was concerned that if the Aron would be in its place, its proper place, when he and the people would be exiled, the Aron Kodesh would be taken into exile too. And therefore he ordered that the Aron Kodesh be buried, be nignaz, be buried under the earth. As the Radak puts it, Shet Siva, it's a Gemara Meseches Yoma, the Radak expands upon it, that he was afraid that the Aron would not be Gola, would not go into exile. And therefore, he went to the place where the Aron Kodesh was, and the Aron Kodesh was upon a rock, and nearby were various other things, the container of the mon that the Jews ate in the Midbar, the staff of Aaron that sprouted. And knowing that the Beis HaMikdash should one day be destroyed, Yoshiyahu ordered the Aaron and those other things to be buried, buried deep beneath the Beis HaMikdash, where it is to this day, where they are to this day. Instead, all we have is the rock and no Aaron HaKodesh. He reorganized the Kohanim, and he organized a system whereby which people were able to offer the Korban Pesach by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. And the Pasuk goes into detail, describing the numbers that Yoshiyahu paid for the Korbanos, and others paid for their Korbanos, so that all the people would have a share in this Korban Pesach. It was done wonderfully. It was done beautifully. The meat of the Korban Pesach was burnt properly. And as the Psukim describing this conclude, Vaya'asu v'nei Yisroel hanimtzi'im es ha-Pesach bo'eis ha'hi v'yeschag ha-matzos shivas yomim. They offered the Korban Pesach. They ate it on Leil Pesach. And they celebrated Chag ha-matzos for the 7 days. Below, na'aso Pesach komohu. Never was a Pesach like this ever experienced by Yisroel? Mimei Shmuel Hanovi, from the days of Shmuel onward. V'chol malchei Yisroel lo osu ka Pesach asher osu Yoshiyahu. None of the Jewish kings ever made a Korban Pesach with such great fanfare, with such ceremony, in such numbers, with everyone participating, as Yoshiyahu did. And he did this in the 18th year of his reign. This, of course, is something to remember and a historical high in the history of the Jewish kings and in the life story of Yoshiyahu. But then the pasuk shifts gears, as it were. And from this triumphant moment, we turn to the tragedy of Yoshiyahu. After all that Yoshiyahu did to restore the avoda of the Korban Pesach, to rebuild and to refurbish and to redecorate and to repair the Beis HaMikdosh, after all this, the king of Egypt, his name was Necho, wanted to pass through the land of Israel in order to reach the city called Charkemish, which was all the way north of Israel, northeast at the Peros, at the Euphrates, to wage war against the Babylonians. However, Yoshiyahu sent forward an army to stop, to block the ability of Necho, the king of Mitzrayim, to go through the land of Eretz Yisrael. Vayetze likroso Yoshiyahu. Paro Necho, the king of Mitzrayim, had no quarrel, had no issue with the Jewish people, and therefore sent to Yoshiyahu messages saying, Ma li v'loch melech Yehuda, I have nothing against you, there's nothing between us, king of Judah. Lo olecha ato hayom ki el beis milchamti, ve'elohim omar lo v'haleni, chadal lecho me'elohim asher imi v'yal yashchisech. Paro Necho said, I have God's assurance that I will be victorious in this war. God himself wants this war to be done. So therefore, do not interfere with me. Do not impede my progress. Do not block my armies. And we know that Yirmiyahu Hanavi advised Yoshiyahu to indeed let Necho go through the land and wage his war against Bavel, who was, of course, the ultimate enemy of the Jews. For lo he save Yoshiyahu fonov mimenu ki lihi lochem bo hischapes. Yoshiyahu did not turn away, did not retreat, because he suspected that Necho really did want to wage war and was only pretending to merely want to pass through the country. And he did not listen to Divrei Necho mipi Elohim. And he went out to war, to do battle against Necho. And he went to do battle on the plains of Megiddo. And there at Megiddo, he met his death. Vayoru hayorim lamelech Yoshiyahu. They shot arrows at him. The archers shot arrows through, and Chazal say they pierced his body like a chvoro, like a sieve. His body was penetrated by dozens, hundreds of arrows. And the king said to his servants, get me out of here. Help me retreat, because I'm very, very wounded. And indeed they did. They took him off the military chariot and put him on the royal coach, took him back to Yerushalayim, where he died and was buried b'kivros avosof. And all the Jewish people, all of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, mourned for Yoshiyahu. And this parak comes to a close with these words. Vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Yirmiyahu lamented Yoshiyahu. Vayomru chol hashorim v'hashoros b'kinosehem al Yoshiyahu ad hayom. And all the singers, male and female singers, composed dirges, composed kinos, composed lamentations for Yoshio. Eternal lamentations. Vayitnum l'chok al Yisrael. They made them part of the, what should we say, the Jewish liturgy. V'hinom kisuvim al hakinos. These lamentations are written together with the kinos. And here Rashi says an interesting thing. Vayitnem l'chok. Kishimizdamein lohem shum tsar ubechiyo. Whenever the Jewish people have any pain, any cause to cry, Sheheim mekonanim ubochim al hama'uro, and they cry and compose lamentations and compose elegies about the event that happens to them, at that time, Heim mazkirim zeh hatzar imo. Whatever happens to the Jewish people, expulsion from Spain, pogroms, Holocaust, as we mourn for those things, we also mourn for Yoshiyahu. Dugma b'Tisha B'Av. For example, says Rashi, on Tisha B'Av, Shemazkirim kinos al haharugim b'gzeiro she'iru b'yomenu. On Tisha B'Av, we don't only mourn the old destruction of hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but contemporary catastrophes as well. So too, when we are upset about contemporary catastrophes, Kein yivkoyun al most Yoshiyahu, so too do we mourn for Yoshiyahu. And indeed, Chazal tell us that that chapter in Eicha, which reads, Eicha yu'am zohov, how has the gold been dimmed, been dulled, was written, composed about the tragic death of Yoshiyahu, the golden king, who met his fate in such a terrible way. The Pasuk, chapter 35, concludes, all the rest of the story of Yoshiyahu v'chasadov, Yoshiyahu did many wonderful things. All of these things, kakosu b'soras Hashem, all the things he did in accordance to God's will. Dvorov horishonim v'acharonim, everything he did from beginning to end, hine kisuvim al sefer malchei Yisrael v'Yehuda, are all written, are all inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. So this is the end of the story of Yoshiyahu. Had so much promise, accomplished so much, became a king at a very young age and ruled for a long time, was beloved by the people, in fact was appointed to his position by the people, and all the people lamented his death. Nevertheless, he died in a shameful way, in an ignominious way, but he was buried by Kivros Avosov, and we mourn him not only then, but we mourn him forever. The end of chapter 35.